This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on the 12th of November 2019. My name is Audrey Raj. I'm joined in the studio today by
Frida Liu.
Arvind Braj.
And yeah, by at. Okay, so we are talking about friendships and productivity tools. Do you use productivity tools to manage your personal life, your friendships, your relationships? Do we need tech to upkeep friends today? 018-789-8899 at BFM Radio is our handle on Twitter and on InstaStory. We have some messages. Let's start with Twitter.
Christine says, I personally use Google Calendar, but I think paying money for one of those personal CRM is going slightly too far. Your friendship should be meaningful enough that you don't need paid software to maintain them.
I don't know, because if you don't pay for the software, then they're obviously using your data for something, right? You got to pay them some way or another, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think paid is safer than the unpaid personal CRM. Do we have any messages on WhatsApp?
Oh, yes. On WhatsApp, we've got Chan here. He says, for me, anyone using FB is using app to maintain and manage friendships directly or indirectly, which is true. I sort of know what's going on with my friends around the world. So Dr. Kyrie Kyrell said, vulnerability, being open, revealing personal information and weaknesses, great for building relationships, builds trust and feeling of closeness. Okay, Maggie comes back again. She says, I'd be instantly put off and then struggle to feel appreciated because someone wants to remember me. But like Audrey, I'd be extremely self-conscious as the conversation carries on. Then I go home, feel strange, like another brick in someone else's wall. Benji added and said, well, friendimacy sounds like the steps towards a successful Stockholm Syndrome implementation. I did the mind map, he said.
So that's the thing, right? You know, but also I'm just thinking about, you know, you sit down and you have a cup of coffee with some friends and then one of your friends goes home and actually, you know, fires up their laptop and actually inputs the kind of stuff that you've discussed and, you know, what you did and who was there and, like, I don't know. I just feel it's wrong to turn your friendship into data points, you know?
Yeah.
In that way, I feel it's wrong. But
That's Google's job.
Yeah.
Or Facebook's.
And like we discussed yesterday, right? You know, if this personal CRM thing is just a fad, okay, fine and well. But if this becomes a thing, if this becomes the next Facebook or our next smartphone phone book, you know, that remembers our phone numbers for us, that we never have to remember our phone numbers anymore. If this becomes the next thing, then you know Google's going to come in on this. They've already got Google Calendar that can ping you. They've already got Google Sheets that can help you with all your data input. So this could be the future.
It takes away the human out of friendships and stuff. But very quickly around the room, like would you do it to remember friends? Would you do it with any sort of like acquaintances or, you know, people you met? Would you use tools to remember stuff about them?
No, because, I wouldn't. Yeah. I don't even have birthdays down on a calendar, honestly. It's just something that I enjoy doing. Like, I like to celebrate people's birthdays. Mm-hmm. Today is Jeff Sandu's birthday, by the way.
You know? Yeah.
Send him a text if you like. I just like to remember it because I feel like I'm very happy that this person was born on this day. And so somehow it just sticks in my head. Frida?
Okay, so again, generational thing, right? I mean, I'm just thinking with the younger folks. I mean, you've been through life without technology, so you make a point. I find that it's more difficult to remember people's birthdays in that sense. And I do rely on Facebook, thanks for the reminder. Of course, the immediate close ones you'll remember, right? But it's just like further ones, like, I know it's in the month of, kind of thing, as much as that, right? Which is, you know, it's really terrible as well. I don't even know my son's number.
But birthday, remember, right?
That one I know.
How to forget.
I remember the pain.
See, I'm with Frida. I think I would do the same for like birthdays and stuff, but I understand the value of using tech to upkeep friendships and relationships. I personally wouldn't do it.
All right. Well, you know, tell us if you would do it. Get in touch with us, 01878 789-8899. Maybe I need to put that down on my phone book. And our handle is at BFM Radio for InstaStory and on Twitter. We're going to move on to story number two now. Social enterprises can depend on people power.
Yeah, so we've interviewed a few social enterprises over the years, a lot of good ones, and their number one problem is always funding. It's always getting enough money to get their business going or making enough profits or convincing someone to invest in their company when they can't show them the big numbers. numbers or the big profits. Banks are difficult with loans when the word social is the prefix. Profits are shaky, so investors always stay away from social enterprises. If you say you're a normal company, they will come. The moment the word social is involved, then it becomes slightly more difficult or a lot more difficult for these people. So there's this interesting piece in The Star that talks about alternative funding options, especially for local startups and social enterprises, and how the government is helping boost this sector. One of the examples they give is Mereka Makerspace, which was actually built through alternative funding. They are a startup that nurtures creativity in science, tech, engineering, arts and math, and they also provide schooling for disadvantaged kids. And they came up because they were powered by, it's basically people power. People funded their platform and then they grew as a business. Zooming in more on the local scene, the problem with traditional funding is that when it comes to social enterprises, the value of social development is abstract. Abstract and hard to calculate. So alternative funding like P2P and equity crowdfunding comes in to fill that funding gap because they don't need you to show them so much of the numbers as much as banks would need or investors would need. They sort of come in on, what do you call it, like the value of the company itself from a people's perspective, like how valuable is your service to other people, and if they believe in what you can do or what you can do to help people or the public, then they will step in with their money. So it also says that Malaysia is a very young industry. The first six P2P lenders were only listed in November 2016. So it's only about 3 years old, the concept, but we are growing quite fast because the good thing is the government is quite keen on this sector. It allocated 50 million via Security Commission's Malaysia Co-Investment Fund, which is MySIF, same as last year. So that rounds up the figure to 100 million in that pot, which is quite...
So they'll match it.
They'll match it. The matching is from an additional... amount that they put in. So this 100 million is just the allocation that they gave to MySIF. In turn, MySIF invests in ECF, which is equity, and P2P campaigns for a 1-to-4 ratio, which is every 4 ringgit invested by others, it will pump 1 ringgit into the company. The government, however, they said that they will match any amount raised ringgit for ringgit, so 1-to-1, based on an additional 10 million ringgit that was allocated specifically for P2P campaigns.
Nice.
Yeah, so that is promising. It shows that they see value in P2P. It also shows that they feel that if you can convince the crowd or you can convince other people to believe in your company, then, you know, why not they match it 1-to-1? The more confidence you get on your part, the more confidence they will put in you. That's basically how it works. They also, there's a lot of interesting bits. It's a long article, so you should go to The Star's website and read it. They also outline how social enterprises can be really profitable. This is the most interesting part. The stigma of them not making enough money isn't always the case anymore. It might have been, but they listed a few, like MyCash Online. That's an e-marketplace for migrants. Green Lagoon is a biogas harvesting firm, a firm that turns waste into energy. And scholarship platform Scholar Fund are three good examples. They said that the people who invested in these companies earned a whopping profit of 44.2% for MyCash Online, which is the biggest, 10% for Scholar Fund, oh no, that wasn't the biggest, and 100% for Green Lagoon. So the people who invested in Green Lagoon actually got 100% back from the investments because of how profitable the company itself was. So they outlined like how, you know, you don't have to think like, you know, you won't get your money back or it's going to take a long time for the money to come back, because just because the company has the word social in front of it, doesn't mean that they won't make money in the future. They can't make money. The other benefit of people power is that founders can have more control over their business because P2P is more flexible. And the online nature of the platforms also makes it easier for the general public to participate. Firms like Funding Societies Malaysia, they offer automation services, so you don't have to do anything manually. There's again, there's a lot of numbers, a lot of like stats in the article. But basically what it says that it's still going to be a problem. Funding will still be a problem for any company, but there is help out there, especially in ECFs and P2Ps. And it ends in a very nice way because it ends by saying that it's not about doing good business, but doing business for good, which I think is really nice. And it's sort of like encouraging for companies that want to come up and do something for the public or people, but don't want to because they're just scared about making money in the long run.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. that's a good one. Of course, you know, we'll link this article to our podcast that you can find on our website, on our app, or all other platforms where you can consume podcasts. We'll come back in just a few minutes with our final stories. We have the latest figures from Alibaba's singles day sales. It is a ridiculous number. We'll have the details for you right after Semisonic with FNT. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.